These modules describe how, with a little knowledge and some educated guesses about what your sample is, you can simulate the scattering at a variety of different instrument configurations, and this level of simulation can show you what the features of the scattering will look like, how much signal you have above the background, and even provide very good estimates of the count rate on the detector, indicating the required counting time that you will need for your experiment. Remember that setting up configurations, what is the best configuration to choose, is still, at some point, a judgment call. But at the very least, these simulations can weed out bad configurations and point you in the right direction. These macros, to do the simulation, involve both analysis aspects and reduction aspects. So both of these must be loaded in. So first I'll load in the analysis. And then after this compiles, we can select a model to use. In this case, I'll use something simple like maybe Gaussian spheres. Include this, and then plot the unsmeared model. During the simulation, your model will be smeared with whatever configuration you have the instrument set to. I'll plot this. The Q range really doesn't matter. It's going to be set by the configuration. And these parameters here are fairly reasonable. One thing we do want to change is the background. There's more information about this in the help file, but since it's a simulation, you want to make it as realistic as possible and enter a background value that is in line with the scattering length densities and materials that you're using. In this case, with a scattering length density of the solvent of about 3 times 10 to the minus 6, that's something that's about 50-50, close to 50-50, H2O, D2O. So 0.5 inverse centimeters for a background value is a good estimate for the simulation. So given these numbers, these values, we can then load in the sans reduction macros. This will allow us access to the SAS-Calc module. Once this compiles, we can sort of move the reduction controls to the back and open the SAS-Calc panel. Now this we would set up previously and choose configurations by setting the number of guides, setting the wavelength, sample aperture, sample to detector distance to get the configuration that we want. Previously, just a simple default function was plotted so that you could see what Q range you would get and where the beam stop would be. Okay, now if you would like to simulate the scattering from your particular sample rather than just from a default sample, click on the simulation checkbox. This brings up a control panel to allow you to set up the particulars of the 1D simulation. The first to select is the model function, in this case the Gauss distributed spheres, and then you can set up information about the sample. The first is the counting time. This number of seconds will multiply the beam intensity to get the total number of incident neutrons. Then you can set the sample thickness. In general, doubling the sample thickness will double the count rate on the detector, but be somewhat modified by the sample transmission. If you increase the sample thickness, be sure to decrease the sample transmission. This only has to be an estimate, but should be somewhat reasonable. These three checkboxes modify the display. If yes offset is checked, then the traces will be offset from each other. In general, we don't check this because we do want to see what the exact overlap is between the configurations. If you choose absolute scale, you'll see each data set at different configurations placed on absolute scale, again, for better comparison of the overlap. And finally, checkbox is ticked to add statistical noise to the data set to give a better feel for what errors would be in the real data set collected at a particular counting time. So if you click on do 1D simulation, it very quickly does the simulation, and for 300 seconds, this is the sort of data you would expect from this sample. There's larger error bars interspersed in the data set to let you know that this is a simulated set. So now if you do anything to change the instrument configuration, like change the sample to detector distance, what you see is the simulation is automatically redone, and now you're at a much larger Q value. Now return to the simulation. Redo the simulation by clicking the 1D simulation button, and if we click on this repeatedly and redo the simulation, you'll see that the graph will change, and this is due to the natural statistical fluctuations in the simulation. So we can save this configuration, this high Q configuration, by freezing the set as usual, and then change the configuration to something to give us lower Q, like say something at around 13 meters. We of course want to balance the collimation and put one guide in, and then we can see from this simulation, again 300 seconds, the data set overlap is a little bit sketchy. There's only three data points overlapping. We can further zoom in on this set by dragging a box around the set and then clicking to expand the region, and then we can see just how sketchy that overlap actually is. There's three data points overlapping, and it's fairly noisy at this region here. You could in fact increase the counting time here, maybe double the counting time, and you get somewhat better statistics, but you do have to increase the counting time quite a bit, maybe even up to half an hour, to get good statistics. It may be better, instead of counting for such a long time at the low Q values, to actually set up a third configuration, say somewhere in the middle at 4 to 5 meters, that'd be better optimized to measure your data in this middle Q range. Some of the other outputs of the simulator are a prediction of the total detector counts, given that counting time, an estimated count rate on the detector, a fraction of the beam scattered, this is coherent scattering, and incoherent scattering as well. There's also an estimated transmission value. This is just the beam that is scattered coherently. So this has very little to do with the actual measured transmission, since absorbance and incoherent scattering are not calculated in this estimated transmission. And then finally, there's a value for the multiple coherent scattering, and this value had better be pretty low. If this value starts to approach 5-10%, you'll need to do something with your sample to reduce the level of scattering, because if there's too much multiple coherent scattering in your sample, you lose a lot of information in your data. Some of the assumptions that go into this calculation, this 1D simulation, are that it only counts for single scattering, and any of the data you see reflected in this graph is only single scattered data. If you want to do anything with multiple scattering, you'll need to do a full 2D simulation. The empty cell and background, meaning blocked beam values, are not included in this. This is simply a simulation of the scattering. It's a sort of assumed here that your sample scattering will be significantly more, at least an order of magnitude larger than empty cell scattering. If not, you'll need to adjust the count times to be much larger. Incoherent scattering, this flat background is included to the extent you've entered the correct value in here in your unsmeared model. Resolution smearing is included in this in exactly the same way it's included in analysis, because the resolution information is known for each of these configurations. These data points that you get at particular Q values and where the beam stop is located in each of these configurations is exactly what you would get when you set up the instrument in these configurations.